Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. And thank you so very much for joining us. I'm here with Gary DeMattei.
Yes, I'm back with Karen Hartglass, everybody. I'm happy.
Happy. Are you happy?
Happy. You know, happiness is a choice, right?
It is, indeed.
We can wake up one morning and say, I'm happy, even if we're not feeling happy. And all of a sudden, you start to feel happy.
You know, I'm jumping into this right now. I'm doing a show very soon, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But one of the lines in the show is how you can act your way into a new way of thinking.
Right. Right now, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. A lot of wacky, weird, insane happenings. And I am going to make the choice not to let it bog me down. I'm going to make the choice to be happy, at least for the next hour with you, Karen.
Well, when you have a roof over your head and food in your belly and a reasonable social life.
Right.
There's a lot of things to be grateful for.
There is.
And if you don't have those things, I wish you well.
Yes, I wish you well as well.
But I think as activists, we can do our best work if we are grateful for what we have and do not slip over to the dark side, which is very easy to do.
Oh, my goodness. Especially now. Everyone is just so dark.
So dark.
And deep in thought and action. There are just a lot of really interesting, what shall I say? Well, it's just a very strange time, and we're all trying to make the best of it.
That's right. And we're making the best of it right here on It's All About Food.
Yes.
During this hour. Again, I'm going to thank you for joining us. Let's have some joy here. Let's have some gratitude. And let's have a celebration because what are we celebrating?
The anniversary of It's All About Food.
It's All About Food.
On the Progressive Radio Network.
Thank you, Progressive Radio Network.
Yay.
You can't see us, but our hands are up and we're
doing the wave.
We're doing the wave.
We're doing the wave. Yes, the wave. Thank you, Progressive Radio Network. How many years now, Karen?
13 years. The first show was March 25th, 2009.
March 25th, 2009.
And I want to say so much has changed and so much has stayed the same.
Yes.
How is that?
I know there is still cruelty on people's plates, and there's still a dairy industry that's going crazy, and a meat industry, and a chicken industry, and just, well, meat is chicken.
That's
chicken
right.
is meat.
It's
and that's
flesh.
The thing. People say, I don't eat meat, I just eat chicken. People still say that. And you're going to talk about some of the things that are still going on.
They still
all
say that.
All these years later.
Yeah, I always like to say that chickens are very smart.
They are.
Just to give people a little food for thought, literally.
Vegan food for thought.
Because somehow we justify eating other animals when we think they're stupid. We justify a lot of exploitation of human beings as well as animals.
Right.
When we consider ourselves superior to them.
Wrong.
Wrong. We are not superior.
Wrong.
To other beings on this planet. We all have value. I would like to think humans have value.
Well, you're a staunch advocate for animals and animal rights, and you are an activist, and you have been making this your mission for many, many years now. You didn't just start this mission with It's All About Food. You went to the air with this mission when you started It's All About Food. So how long have you been an animal rights activist?
Right. Well, I didn't know I was an animal rights activist in the beginning because I was a teenager. I kind of started on this path at 15 years old and there was no internet. And I didn't have the magazines or the publications just yet. It was just this thought in my head. And
you weren't doing it for likes. You weren't doing it for thumbs up. You weren't doing it for followers. You weren't doing it as
I just realized who was on my plate.
as many people are doing it now for clickbait and things of that nature. You did it in earnest. Your heart was in it from the beginning.
My first show here on the Progressive Radio Network, I was reading the transcript, which is really convenient to have. Aside from a comment or two about Michelle and Barack Obama, who were in the White House at the time, everything else is still true and still useful information. If you want to go back and listen to that first show, you are welcome to do so. All of the programs are archived at responsibleeatingandliving.com, so you can start at the beginning and go from there. I talked about what a vegetarian is and what a vegan is. I talked about protein and honey, empty calories, and I had someone call in because we were taking questions at the time, and the caller had considered himself a vegan, but he consumed honey, so we had a conversation about that. And he also asked about a diet for someone who had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right. What did you let them know?
Well,
That's a slippery slope, isn't it?
It sure is. And he had asked the question, and right about that time I had lost a dear friend to Lou Gehrig's disease.
I remember.
It was very timely for me. I don't have personal experience with it, but what I've read from the experts that I trust, like Dr. Furman, for example, the same diet that is recommended for cancer, for example, is a diet that's recommended for people that are suffering from this disease. Number one, it can't hurt, and it may help, and it may extend life. Right. So that's a high-fiber diet of juicing, lots of greens, lots of raw vegetables as well as cooked vegetables, no oil, salt, or sugar, no processed foods. The same diet we talk about every week.
Sure, but I mean, it has to be repeated because you're telling us now that 13 years ago you started this program on the Progressive Radio Network, and 13 years later you're still talking about the same things because people still come up to you and ask you the same questions.
Same questions, different day.
And there's a lot more people out there now that are trying to exploit veganism for whatever reason. Use veganism as a clickbait. There's programs on Netflix now. There's a program called Bad Vegan, and a lot of people are feeling and writing about the fact that they get it wrong about vegans in that program. You know, the media has gotten it wrong. It isn't about being perfect. It's about avoiding things that promote animal exploitation as much as possible. One of the reviews said, why purchase makeup tested on animals if there are cruelty-free alternatives? Why support animal cruelty by going to a zoo when there are sanctuaries that actually foster animal conservation? Why drink a glass of cow's milk when there are countless plant-based options? Being vegan is about doing one's best to not support brutal industries that exploit, torture, and kill innocent animals. That's just one quote from one of the sites out there that's talking about how this film, Bad Vegan, got it wrong. It's just there to confuse folks.
So the film Bad Vegan, if you've seen it, is about the former owner of a raw food restaurant here in Manhattan, Pure Food and Wine, which when it opened was an incredible restaurant. It was opened by Matthew Kenny, who is renowned now all over the world with his chain of vegan restaurants. He is a brand. But the film is about his girlfriend at the time, Sarma Mangalis. And she took the restaurant over when they split. We may have even have talked about it on this program years ago. I don't remember. It was funny because we had a $100 gift certificate that we were waiting to use at the restaurant, and then it closed, and there was this scandal why it closed, and then it reopened, and then it closed for good. The documentary is the story about what happened, and apparently Sarma was a victim of abuse by a man who became her husband. And
yeah, and what the media picked up was the sensationalism of that story, a vegan ordering non-vegan food. The media really went crazy for that. And for the record, the meal was apparently a non-vegan meal for her husband, the person that you're talking about. And so anyway, there's just a lot of sensationalism going on about this.
The documentary itself, in our opinion, it wasn't well done.
No.
And we couldn't even finish it. We watched the first episode. I think there are four. But it's just an opportunity for people, starting with the title, Bad Vegan, to make fun of vegans, point fingers at vegans, and it's just an unfortunate thing. I'm not recommending this film.
No. And it's not really about a person who ate a pizza or didn't eat a pizza from Domino's. It's about, you know, millions of dollars that went missing.
It's a distraction. Yeah. It's a distraction from the real issue, which is that billions of animals are tortured year in, year out. By eating them, we get chronic diseases and we're destroying the environment. It's the same message that's been put out for decades.
And you've been putting it out.
I've been putting it out.
Happy anniversary.
And happy anniversary. Whee! Celebrate!
Yeah. What else is going on for us? You mentioned Barack Obama, and he hosts a good show on Netflix, as far as I'm concerned, about national parks. So if you want to watch something on Netflix, watch Barack's new Netflix series about national parks. It's really supposed to be wonderful, and I'm looking forward to watching it. He's the narrator, and it's called Our Great National Parks. And you know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing some national parks. We drove across country, and we're about to hit the road again. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. We'll tell folks why. But one of the things I haven't done is I haven't visited our national parks.
There are many, and many are indeed lovely.
So I'm looking forward to watching this program on Netflix.
I just love hearing him talk, so
yeah,
that'll be fun.
That's another reason I want to watch it.
So so we're going on the road again. We're leaving in a few days for Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. Let's tell everybody why we're going to Chicago. I'm driving you as far as Chicago, and then you're driving the rest of the way to Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
2 years ago, I was cast to understudy three roles in a musical with the Fireside Theater.
Right.
And it never happened because you know what happened.
Because the pandemic shut down all of the theaters across the country, if not around the world.
And theater is coming back now. Hooray!
Hooray.
And so I will be doing this show, and I'm very excited about it. I've been studying and memorizing, and
yes, you have. I think I know the show better than you do, because I've been listening to you do it for the last 2 years.
And it's funny, this is not at all a vegan show, and they talk a lot about eating things that I wouldn't eat. But it's a lot of fun. And the music's great. We're going to be driving to Chicago, and we're going to be going to one of Matthew Kenney's restaurants in Chicago.
Yes, we are.
And we'll be meeting with Robert Grillo, the founder of Free From Harm. I cannot wait. And his partner, Tom.
Yes, that's going to be great. Robert does amazing work. Amazing.
You know, I'm always selfish, but I'm using this meeting not just as a nice social outing, but to get fired up.
Right.
I know he's going to inspire me to do more.
His website is freefromharm.org. Check it out. It's really a wonderful, wonderful trip through farm and animal advocacy and education. It's great.
So I'm planning about what I'm going to be bringing with me. Now, we've done road trips, we've stayed in hotels, and it's continually a work in progress.
Right, because you're going to be gone how many?
I'm going to be gone 8 weeks. The first 2 weeks I'm in a hotel, and the following 6 weeks, I'm in an actor's house. So the house will have a kitchen, a full kitchen, and everything I'll need to prepare food. The first 2 weeks, no, I'll be in a hotel with a microwave.
So you're going to get an Instant Pot.
I'm thinking about getting an Instant Pot. Now, so many people have said they love their Instant Pot, and I've never been interested in one. But all of a sudden, I'm thinking traveling, it might be a good thing to cook my beans and cook my grains.
What about an air fryer? You think you could fit one of those in your in your hotel room?
I'm not that interested in that yet.
You're not that interested in French fries made in an air fryer?
No, but I'm going to talk about French fries in a minute.
I know that. I'm giving everybody a table of contents of today's show. You're going to be talking about French fries.
So if you have any good thoughts on your Instant Pot, because you have one, let us know, info@realmeals.org. I'd love to hear what you think.
And hopefully you'll be blogging about what you make in the hotels and in the actor's kitchen.
Yeah, I think you will see some new What Vegans Eat posts I have not posted in quite a while.
From the actor's kitchen. Good title.
Good title, Gary.
Good subtitle for What Vegans Eat.
But right now I've got a box that I'm starting, and it's got a number of different dried beans and grains and nuts and dried fruit. I'm just going to take half of what we have in this apartment.
Right.
And leave you the rest.
Oh, that'll be fun. Well, I sure will miss you.
Yeah, well, we'll talk by phone.
But what's your favorite thing to sing to me when I say that?
One of my favorite songs is by Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. How many people have heard of Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks? Google him. How can I miss you if you won't go away? I keep telling you day after day, but you won't listen. You always stay and stay. Oh, how can I miss you if you won't go away?
Yeah, you sing that to me every time I start to say I'm going to miss you. Well done, well done.
Okay.
But it's true, I will miss you, but I know that you're going to do something that you love, something that you have passion for.
That I haven't done in a long time.
Yes. Get back out there.
Potatoes. French fries. This is really funny, I think. So you mentioned French fries, and I'm not interested in getting an air fryer. I mean, an air fryer is probably fun to have, but it's not the most nutritious way to prepare food because basically it's just sucking the moisture out of your food, right?
Right. Dry food.
And I like to eat wet food.
But you don't like to eat greasy wet food, and this is what you're going to talk about.
Exactly. So there was a study, a press release that just came out from the Alliance for Potato Research and Education.
Well, let's hear what they have to say.
Their acronym is APRE, APRE. So they did an industry-funded study. They're telling us that there's no short-term, statistically significant difference between calorie-matched fries and almonds on key health metrics. They're basically telling you, you can have one serving of French fries or one serving of roasted and salted almonds and not see any health difference in 30 days. And this is another one of these ridiculous, idiotic, stupid studies in order to get a headline so that you can feel good about eating French fries.
This is just clickbait. Again.
You can never feel good about eating French fries that are fried in oil. Sorry. No, thank you. I know, Gary, you occasionally indulge, but they're probably the worst food on the planet. And if you're having them every day for 30 days, and you continue to have them, you're going to be in trouble.
Speaking of your anniversary, we saw that when we watched the documentary. What was the name of it? The guy who just ate nothing but McDonald's fries and burgers.
Supersize Me.
Supersize Me, right?
Right.
His blood went crazy. Cholesterol went nuts.
But that was 30 days, and he didn't do well in 30 days.
No, he did terrible.
They're just comparing a serving of French fries with a serving of almonds. So what do I have to say about this? 30 days. Yeah. So it's not that long a period of time. We don't know what else these people were eating. They were eating almonds that were roasted and salted. Now, I would never recommend eating salted anything if you're going to eat almonds. And almonds are a nutritious food. I know they get a bad rap because they take a lot of water. But almonds, especially organic almonds, can be part of a healthy, health-promoting diet. But you want to eat them raw and unsalted.
Exactly.
Yeah. They just designed this study.
They just want you to buy French fries instead of almonds.
To make you feel guiltless about eating French fries. And I'm just going to say, sorry. French fries are not a nutritious food.
Wrong.
Right. Wrong. And then that leads me to some of the myths I've been hearing recently.
Over the last 13 years?
Well, there's always myths. But the myths that have been put in front of my face in the last week, because, you know, I review programs.
Yes, you do.
And unfortunately, you get to hear me when I'm aggravated when I read something that's totally ridiculous.
Something that's false.
Something
that's
false.
And people are trying to get people to pay for programs that are giving them false information.
Okay. How many people out there, and you may not like what I have to say here, but how many people out there believe in colonics and coffee enemas? Okay, raise your hand.
That's a serious subject.
Maybe you like colonics and coffee enemas. Maybe you think they make you feel better. But there is no scientific evidence, zip, nada, none, that proves or disproves that coffee enemas are helpful. And there isn't any evidence that colon waste is toxic to the body. Our body is designed to take food in and get rid of the waste and toxins and bacteria all by itself. Now, if you're not eating the right food and you're not getting enough fiber, you may not be moving your bowels
every day
and moving them correctly. And that's not going to feel good. And so maybe if you had a colonic and that kind of got some of the gunk in there, you might feel better. But you ultimately may have more difficulty moving your bowels if you get used to clearing your gunk out with colonics. And why not just eat right so exactly. that your body works the way it's supposed to? So anyway, I was reviewing a program and the expert nutrition researcher who was hosting this program said, yes, we've all seen the evidence that supports colonics and coffee enemas as being helpful and healthy. And I was reading this over and over going, what evidence? What evidence?
Well, isn't it kind of alarming when somebody says, we've all seen the evidence?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
And you really, there is no evidence out there.
But somehow you keep hearing it. And right. So you believe it.
So you start to believe it. But there is no evidence.
And this happens in the health community. This happens in politics. If you repeat a story.
Anybody that leads with something, you've all seen the evidence, is probably giving you false information. Because there is no evidence out there.
Well, not on this subject, no.
They're just trying to make you feel like you should have seen the evidence and you're not going to admit that you haven't seen the evidence.
Oh, we've all seen it.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Sure. You saw that, right? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, my friend. So if you have evidence that colonics and coffee enemas or colonics or coffee enemas, either or and are beneficial, please let me know. Educate me. I would love to see that. info@realmeals.org. is the place to email that information.
And what else is driving you up a wall for 13 years? How about when people say they take algae?
Blue-green algae. This is a popular one. And there may be people in our listening audience who really swear by blue-green algae. And a lot of the people who promote blue-green algae will tell you about all of the wonderful nutrition that you get from this product, especially if it's wild-sourced.
Is that what it has to be? It has to be wild-sourced? Well, what does that mean? You go to a pond and skim it off the top?
Yeah, or they may go to some ocean or some lake, I don't know, where it's in nature.
No, I'm not being facetious. Yeah, it's just something that's naturally growing, like a pond or a water source.
Because
somewhere.
There are products that are grown in man-made ponds, specifically to grow these products.
And then there are naturally sourced, meaning that people go out and hunt for blue-green algae.
Yes. So some people say that blue-green algae, which is also known as spirulina, has B12. And B12 is a very important nutrient. We all need B12. And some people will say a vegan diet isn't healthy because you cannot get B12 and you have to supplement. And I say, yes, it's true, we have to supplement B12. But I believe most people today have to supplement B12, especially as we age. Because we live in such a sterile society, B12 comes from the soil and it grows as in bacteria. And because we're so sterile, we just don't get it as much. And people who are eating animals that live in dirt, the animals get the B12 that way. And so if you eat them, you may get some. But more and more, there's less and less of the B12. So everybody really should supplement B12. Spirulina is promoted, saying it has B12, but what it has B12 analogs. And these B12 analogs have a similar structure to the vitamin B12 that we need. And what they do is they bind to the B12 receptors in the human body, but they do nothing. And they block access for the real B12 that we need. So it could really be problematic if you're consuming spirulina on a regular basis.
So it could actually block B12.
Yes, the B12 that you need.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could have a serious B12 deficiency if you're consuming a lot of spirulina. Wow. And then the other thing, and this is something that isn't proven. It's one of these correlations. So there have been tests done that link Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig's disease. We were talking about Lou Gehrig's disease earlier.
Which is also called?
ALS.
ALS.
So there have been studies linking a neurotoxin, which is BMAA, that's the acronym, and people that have Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig's disease have a high amount of this BMAA in their brains. And
wow.
Funny thing is that blue-green algae has this toxin, BMAA. So does that mean if you consume it, you will get Alzheimer's or Lou Gehrig's disease? That's not proven. But if people with Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig's have a lot more of this BMAA, do you want to be consuming BMAA?
I don't, no.
So there's a word of caution there.
Another myth dispelled here on It's All About Food.
Well, the thing is, we can get all of the nutrients we need from a whole food, plant diet, variety of food, lots of colors, with a small amount of supplementation, B12, vitamin D, if you live in an area where you're not getting enough sun all year round, maybe a little zinc. That's it. And that's a diet where there are no side effects. You're just eating the food that nourishes your body. Boom.
Well done, Karen. So if anybody has any questions about that, you know where to go. info@realmeals.org.
And if you don't agree with me, let's have a nice conversation. Let's have a nice debate.
Exactly.
I love having a lively conversation about food and food products. Here we are. It's the second part of the show now. And I want to talk about food. Are you surprised? Yeah. I want to talk about the restaurants we've been to and what we've discovered.
Yeah, since things have been opening up now, but of course there's just another variant around the corner, we've been getting out a little more. We went and saw a play the other night, American Buffalo, and before that we met some friends for dinner at P.S. Kitchen, which is a great vegan restaurant in Midtown. There are very few of those.
Their location is perfect for Broadway theater goers.
Yes.
Before or after the show.
And we went with two friends who were in town, and they're not vegan, but they wanted to go out vegan. So we said they were going to see Plaza Suite, and we were going to see American Buffalo.
And what one of them said that so many people have said to us before, right?
Over the last 13 years.
I would go vegan if you could cook for me.
Right. So we said, that's really a great challenge. We'd love to cook for you. We'd love to cook for everybody. We're just trying to figure out how we can do that. Because I think you'd all go vegan if Karen and I cooked for you.
I do too.
I really do. But
we can't.
Maybe indirectly we can. Maybe if we open up a food business somehow.
Somehow. I mean, right now we just put our recipes online and it's up to you to read them and try them.
But we're still working on how we can feed y'all. So
yeah, we want to feed the world.
Right. So we went to see these friends and met them at P.S. Kitchen. Now, you have interviewed the owners of P.S. Kitchen.
Yeah, one of them is Craig Cochran.
In this program over the last 13 years, which is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the anniversary of It's All About Food. And you went to the restaurant several times, interviewed Craig and his partner, and you hadn't been in a while, and now you're back. What did you think?
I thought it was better than ever.
So when we first went there,
the menu's very limited.
And it's still limited.
And it's kind of eclectic and not the healthiest food.
Right. They have French fries, for example.
They do. Three kinds.
They have a deep fryer and they have French fries.
And they always have burgers.
And you were talking to the chef the first time we went and said, when are you going to add more salads? When are you going to add more vegetables? And it looks like they added a couple more.
They added a few. So I had a very nice arugula beet salad. It had some kind of vegan feta in it that I've had before that I don't particularly care for. Maybe some people would like it. But aside from that, it was really nice, satisfying salad. I started with a very decadent appetizer, and I thought everybody was going to participate. But once, before COVID, after theater, we had gone to PS Kitchen, and we got the maitake barbecued wings.
Right.
Barbecue wings and with maitake mushrooms.
I want to talk about those maitakes. I tasted that, and it did not taste like a mushroom to me.
Now, this is Gary, and you all know that Gary doesn't like mushrooms.
Right. It was very, very good.
Yeah, so I ordered
them. And it had that really spicy buffalo sauce on it.
And everybody got a taste, but no one ate enough of them, so I had to finish them all.
Well, I saw people digging into them. I mean, I didn't this time around because I don't know why I didn't, but I just didn't.
I know.
So you started with the maitake wings.
Yes, as an appetizer.
Which are hardly wings.
They're just mushrooms, they're fried. They're breaded and fried.
They're breaded and fried.
Yeah, but they were really good.
Yes.
And they filled me up. And then I had this big salad. And you had the orzo pasta in a creamy sauce.
Yeah, it was a cashew cream sauce. It was like an Alfredo sauce. It was like an orzo Alfredo. And they actually served it with some green. There was a little broccoli rabe there on the plate. Mm-hmm. It was very nice. For those of you who don't know what orzo is, it's a little tiny pasta that's shaped like rice. Orzo, rosso, rice.
Grazie, Gary.
Riso. Just enough. It was just a tickle, as you would say.
Now, they had some amazing desserts.
Yeah, we had to do those, too.
And I've been walking around for a while now saying, it's funny, because we have our meals every day. We cook at home. And then after the meal, we pretend. We play pretend. And I'll say, oh, I think today I'll have the cherry pie.
Yes.
And then you might say, would you like that a la mode? And then I'll say yes or no. And sometimes I'll say, I think I'll have the chocolate cake today. Now, right. Of course, we don't have any of these desserts.
We just break out the dates.
And then we'll have a date or two. But it's really fun to play restaurant and imagine we're having these desserts.
That there's somebody that's going to actually come from the other side of the apartment and serve us dessert.
And I was having this craving for chocolate cake. Now, it's interesting about cravings. So I acknowledge that I have the craving. And in like 5 minutes, it's gone.
Right. One bite.
But the thought of it. No, even if I don't have the chocolate cake.
Oh, okay.
It's just the thought of it. It comes and I go, chocolate cake would be nice right now. And then it goes away.
Oh, okay. So you think about it, it's like writing something down and then ripping it up. You want to like write that letter to somebody, so you write it, you read it, and you go, I don't need it anymore.
And in today's world, it's so easy to satisfy a momentary craving in that moment, rather than just letting it pass.
A momentary craving in that moment.
Yes.
That's a good title.
But anyway, they had great desserts, and we shared a brownie with some coconut ice cream on top.
It was amazing.
And it was really fine.
And it was like two bites and it was gone. It wasn't really that much, although the ice cream...
It was a very nice serving. Yeah, no, I disagree, Gary.
The portions were okay for you, but for me, I could have used a little more brownie.
Okay, the brownie was a decent square, but there was a big mob of ice cream.
The ice cream, there was plenty of ice cream. The chocolate brownie, however, I can see if one person was eating it, one person like me, it would be great.
Okay, anyway, thumbs up on PS Kitchen.
Yeah, the service was great. Our server was amazing. We sat upstairs. We had never sat upstairs before in a nice booth. It was really
It was a lovely experience
delightful.
To be out. And dining, just
and,
like
and then getting ready
normal
to go
people.
To the theater.
And then going to the theater.
And we had amazing seats at Circle in the Square.
And the funny thing about American Buffalo, since we're talking about food, is in the beginning of the play, there are two characters, and the older character is talking to the younger character.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about the actors in this play. If we're going to talk about the play,
okay,
Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Rockwell, and Darren Criss. I mean, talk about star power. Those are three
major stars doing theater, and all of these actors have their roots in theater. So there we were sitting in these seats watching this
just
play.
Just a few feet from these amazing actors.
And the play is written by David Mamet, the very controversial David Mamet. So anyway, the evening's filled with controversy if you go to the play, but they were talking about food, and you were just
so one says
that.
To the other, did you have breakfast? Breakfast is the most important meal, right? And it's funny to hear that. When was this play written?
In the 70s.
In the 70s. I remember when that expression was all over the place, where we used to say breakfast is the most important meal. So Lawrence Fishburne is telling Darren Criss he has to go out and get something to eat. And he gives him money. He tells him to get him a coffee.
And a donut or something.
And a donut or something. And he tells him to pick up something.
Bacon.
Anything. Yeah, so they're eating bacon. They're eating donuts.
A sandwich with bacon or something. Put some bacon on it.
And they're talking about how it's important to eat breakfast in the morning. Okay,
right.
Maybe. This was not a play where we were learning about nutrition, but it was funny.
It was a great play. Well, go see it if you're in New York. It's set design by Scott Pask is another character in the play. This three-person play has another major character, and it's the set designed by Scott Pask, and it's really quite remarkable. You're actually in the junk shop. Ah, I couldn't say enough about it.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. Now, we went to a bunch of other restaurants this week because we're out and about and being sociable.
Well, we're also trying to do some nice, fun things before you take off for 8 weeks and go back to work in the theater.
We went to a local restaurant that we've been to before with some neighbors. It was easy. We could walk there. Jade. We had an event there years ago.
Right. The Swingin' Gourmets performed there for one of our fundraisers.
And they made really wonderful vegan small bites, maki, and a variety of different things for our event. I don't know if there's been a change of owner or whatever.
I think there has, because it was not the same.
It wasn't the same. And we
ordered...
It was
very disappointing.
This stir fry that was so... So, I want to say SOS. It was so full of salt, oil, and sugar.
It was swimming in it. Yeah. And the server wasn't very knowledgeable.
No.
I think they were new. So they didn't know what was going on.
So note to self, I made a note to myself, if I ever eat at that restaurant again, I'm only getting the maki, the avocado maki, the vegetable maki. That's like the cleanest food that they have to offer.
Right. And I'm wondering if they serve brown rice. I'm wondering if they could make it with brown rice, because a lot of times sushi restaurants can make your maki with brown rice, and brown rice is better than white rice.
Absolutely. That's where all the nutrients are, in the exterior part of the grain in brown rice, and white rice doesn't have any of it.
Right. It's funny how folks don't want the nutrients. They just want something else.
Now, we have asked people to use brown rice when making maki, and I would say 9 times out of 10, they will, but they'll frown. They don't like to
it
do it.
It might be more expensive.
I don't know.
I think that's
at home, we make maki with brown rice.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you make maki with millet, you make maki with quinoa, you make maki with brown, black, and red rice.
You can make it with a lot of things. Some people make it with cauliflower rice or with...
But your maki is really good. You do a great job. You've actually spoiled me for maki.
Thank you.
But there is a restaurant, we're talking about restaurants now, that makes maki. It's a vegan restaurant, and it's called Beyond Sushi.
Yes.
And they do great maki.
They use a variety of different grains.
Right.
And really excellent.
Very creative.
All right. So then we were invited to join other neighbors for a birthday party. And they wanted to go to this restaurant on Long Island, which is a bit of a drive from where we live.
Long Island?
Dewan in Port Washington. It's on the water. Very lovely. It was raining, but still...
It's a very nice setting. It's right there on the water.
The view was nice. And I looked online and I was saying to Gary, we better eat before we go.
Right.
Because it didn't look like they had anything.
When we got there, there was all these vegan items.
And they were labeled vegan. And the server was knowledgeable.
Right.
And he was very respectful.
Very respectful. And so you assume that there's a lot of vegans on Long Island. Because it seems like he, the questions that I asked him, it seemed like he had answered 100 times or more.
So the confusing thing about Indian food, many people think that vegans can eat Indian food because there are so many vegetarians in India. And there's a difference between vegetarians and vegans. And a lot of Indian food contains not only cheese and cream sauce, but ghee. G-H-E-E, which is clarified butter. And they use that a lot. And restaurants here in the States and in many other places have learned to make some dishes without ghee, but they'll use oil.
Right.
And one of the dishes that I really like is the saag. And we had ordered 3 dishes, and that I think that was my favorite.
How do you spell that, Karen?
S-A-A-G.
And it was mustard greens.
This one was made with mustard greens. You could get it with spinach or kale or a blend of a bunch of bitter greens.
Right.
But it has things in it like onion and pepper and ginger and garlic and chilies and coriander and cumin. And depending on who's making it, they might add different spices, more right. or less, fenugreek, turmeric,
good, right?
lemon juice. It was really good. I've had it before. I want to make it at home. It's like a, well, one of my favorite dishes as a kid was creamed spinach. And this is another creamed green dish.
Only there was no cream.
You could add cream, but the one we had didn't have cream. So right. there are variations. So
you could add a little cashew cream if you wanted.
You could, number one, make it completely free of all fat if you want, just sauteing the greens and then blending them and adding the spices. You could use tahini. You could use coconut milk. You could use a variety of different fat sources to give it that richness. And I'm ready to play around with it.
Yeah, maybe that's something you can do in Wisconsin.
I'll do it in Wisconsin so you don't have to.
No, that's not it. But you're going to be gone. Or maybe you can do it before you leave. The thing about mustard greens that I found very funny is that when I was a kid growing up, the Italians loved to use mustard greens. And they would find them in fields mm-hmm. growing wild. And they would stop the car and run out of the car and pick all of these wild mustard greens from like an abandoned lot somewhere. And, you know, I didn't know what some of my relatives were doing when they did that. Of course, my parents never did it. But when I was driving with an aunt or an uncle and they'd see this field of greens with yellow flowers, they would stop. Yeah. And it would be like they were finding gold. And they would go out and they would pick all of these greens and then bring them. And I'm like, what are you doing? These are mustard greens. We're going to have these. We're going to cook these tonight. And, you know, they're wonderful. And, you know, they're a delicacy. And
I think it's a beautiful thing to forage.
Yeah.
But it's kind of difficult to do.
I don't know if there's any mustard greens growing wild anywhere.
Sure. Dandelion greens are another one.
That was part of my childhood.
That I would want to pick any dandelion greens here because you don't know who's trampled on them or peed on them.
Well, that was the thing about mustard greens is you didn't know who did that either, but I guess they felt, well, we'll wash them and they'll be fine.
Yeah. I love mustard greens.
We're talking about abandoned lots now with cyclone fences.
Oh,
they
wow.
shouldn't be there, right? Buildings were like shuttered, and yet if there was these greens growing with yellow flowers, some relatives of mine would go out and pick them. It was really...
That's an interesting thing.
Made me smile when I saw an item on the menu that said it was made with mustard greens. And you're saying it's called saag.
Yes.
All right. So we had a good time there.
We did.
They had a lot of great food. I had a cauliflower and potato mixture. It was very good with some wonderful sauces.
And we had a yellow dal.
And a yellow dal.
Which was seasoned so nicely.
So for those that don't know, we're not talking about a child's toy when we talk about a yellow dal. What is dal?
Yellow dal. D-A-L. It's a lentil. It's a legume like a lentil. Yeah.
And it's mixed with some really...
The traditional Indian spices.
Very good.
Cumin, coriander.
And of course, you didn't have any of this, but I ordered some roti because he said that the whole wheat roti, which is a flatbread, it's a flatbread, was vegan. And
right.
That's great to scrape up all the sauce with. And it's really good. So we had a great time. And the biggest surprise.
Right.
The biggest surprise was the folks we went with. It was a celebration of a birthday. They aren't vegan, but there was a birthday cake, and the cake was, again, chocolate cake.
Right.
There was a theme here because the universe knew you wanted chocolate cake, and it was vegan. They ordered a vegan chocolate cake for all of us to enjoy.
That's right.
That was really nice.
They got it at Whole Foods, and I had mentioned it, or maybe we had brought it to them once, and one of them just remembered, and he's been buying it for people ever since. Was really very thoughtful.
Was very thoughtful. So that was a really great time. Where are we going to go before you leave? We have to go one more place.
I don't know that we have time.
So we have to wait for Chicago. So let's talk about the place we're going in Chicago.
We are going to, as I mentioned before, Matthew Kenny's Altea. I think that's how you pronounce it. Altheca. And I'm looking at the menu right now. And it looks pretty good.
So if anybody's been there, let us know what you think before we get there. What should we order? What's some of the menu items, Karen?
Okay, well, they have appetizers. They have an artisanal cheese plate. They have al pastor taco, oyster mushrooms, avocado puree, pineapple salsa. They have a jackfruit crab cake. They have mac and cheese. And of course, this is all vegan. Need I say this is vegan?
Mac and cheese. That sounds good.
They have a char-grilled carrot with pesto and pistachio appetizer, kimchi dumplings, and a Thai squash soup.
Wow. They are getting so...
creative, right?
Creative. And that's Matthew, though. Matthew does. That,
yeah. Then the mains. They have a crab avocado toast.
Crab. Now, I wonder what they're using for crab. Probably some sort of...
I don't know. They have a big... kale salad, a harvest bowl with Brussels sprouts, sauerkraut, quinoa, braised kale, hazelnut, tahini, mustard.
That sounds like something you would like.
Yeah, like something we might even make at home. Almond udon, a Mighty Vine tomato zucchini lasagna. Oh, I think that might be, is that raw maybe?
Harkening back to his pure food and wine days, eh?
They had an amazing lasagna there, maybe. And then they have a kelp noodle. Cacio e pepe.
Cacio e pepe, a traditional Italian dish from Milano.
And of course, they have some nice desserts. Oh, I cannot wait. Woo!
Right. So excited to go there. And I haven't been to Chicago in a long time.
No, and this will be a nice celebration because we used to go to Chicago about 16 years ago when I was getting treated for advanced ovarian cancer and I would go to the Block Center.
Right.
And I have to admit that I only have good memories going there. It was a positive experience because the way they do the chemotherapy there is better than anywhere, I think. If you have to do it there. And we went to a lot of restaurants and museums and we went to theater.
And we laughed.
And we laughed a lot.
And we cried a lot.
Yeah, we did cry a little too. I want to ask you, Gary.
Yes.
You made our multi-grain mix recently.
Yes.
We vary it, but it's usually brown rice, black rice, red rice, and millet. Sometimes the millet's there, sometimes it isn't.
Correct.
You made it, and I said to you, what did you season it with? It has such an interesting, lovely flavor.
Well, we've talked about this before on the program. That sometimes you can use tea in your cooking, in your sautéing. If you want to do an SOS-free diet, we talk a lot about sautéing in water. But we've also talked about, over the last 13 years, when I've been so honored to be on your program with you, we've talked about cooking with tea. So I had some leftover rooibos Earl Grey tea, and I just put that in the water thinking you probably can't even taste it.
Mm.
And I had forgotten about it. And so I served you some rice and you said, what is different about this rice? It's delicious. And I didn't remember until I was doing the dishes and I said, oh, I know it. I know it. Why you found the rice so different.
It was lovely.
Was because I used a rooibos Earl Grey.
It had the most delicate hint of fruity sweetness.
And there was a little mint tea mixed with it as well.
Yeah.
So you have an amazing palate.
You didn't really notice it.
I didn't notice it until after I remembered
what I had put in the water, and right. it was leftover tea.
So Gary has been avoiding caffeine for a while now, and we recently restocked our inventory of caffeine-free teas.
Yes.
And the rooibos with Earl Grey is one of them.
And it's great.
And we do a rooibos and chai mix. So the chai is just the spices in a chai tea without the black tea, and we use rooibos instead.
Which is great. Very good.
And then there's rooibos with almond and vanilla, which is very
that's
nice.
That's nice. That's like comfort tea.
Right. And then I particularly love, you drink a lot of mint tea, but it's this dried peppermint. But what I love is the fresh spearmint.
Sure, when you can get it, right?
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
When you can get organic mint like that.
But yeah.
When we can't, we buy the dried organic mint.
I wish we could like grow it all over the house.
Well, maybe we will this
summer. Speaking of PS Kitchen, they used to put a sprig or two of fresh mint in the bottles of their water. That's lovely, too.
Right.
I think there's a benefit to adding something to your water. I've read a variety of different things, but I always prefer myself, when I'm drinking water, to have something in it, like lemon or a piece of mint.
Yes, you do. You put a lot of fruit salad in your water.
For some reason, just plain water doesn't do it to me. And there's this conversation about structured water. That's another one of those things that drives me crazy, because structured water is meaningless. Well, not meaningless. Water has structure, but it changes. And people talk about buying machines and drinking water that's structured, and I don't know what that means, really, because
so
scientifically,
if you know what it means,
mean,
let us know.
No, they describe it, but it doesn't make any sense scientifically. But I think that maybe having something in water, like mint or a lemon, I was thinking about this recently, and I don't quote me on this, but I feel like maybe it does something to the surface tension in the water and makes the water wetter. But it just works for me.
Yes. You like a little water with your fruit salad.
Some people put a little salt in their water.
Why?
For added electrolytes.
Wow.
I don't recommend salting anything, but okay.
People put salt in their ice cream now, too. That's a big thing.
Oh, I hate salt in ice cream.
Right. A lot of people love it.
Yeah.
Salt and sugar. They love that combination.
And fat.
Salt, sugar, and fat.
In the form of oil. Or other fats, sure. Salt, sugar, and fat.
But there's a reason why people are addicted to salt, sugar, and fat. And it blocks your taste buds, right? And so
we were just talking about that in the restaurant the other day.
Right.
People couldn't imagine not adding salt to food because they think it's so necessary. But when your tongue is coated with oil, you can't taste anything. And when you're used to when your tongue is so used to being excited with all this salt, it
kind of burns off the oil.
Desensitizes.
It burns off the oil so that you can actually taste the salt.
Something.
You're tasting salt.
Oh, people.
Right. But we had some fun going out to some restaurants and exploring their menus, finding things for us to eat. So it's not impossible. There is hope.
There is. I want to mention one thing before we go, because we're almost out of time. Look how we did that. There's an event in New York tomorrow, March 30th, and it is run by the Voters for Animal Rights. I just want to read their little promo. It says, "We've got a lot of work to do for all animals big and small in New York, from guinea pigs to dogs to horses. We need your help to hold our elected officials accountable for the rights of animals. Join the Voters for Animal Rights webinar to learn how you can help us advance animal rights legislation in the New York State Legislature and in the New York City Council. Residents from all of New York are encouraged to attend, and you can RSVP to get the Zoom link at this link, vfar.org/MAR30. VFAR, that's Voters for Animal Rights. Even if you're not in New York, I think this webinar could be helpful to everyone to learn what to do to advance animal rights legislation in all states. So you might want to check that out.
It's no longer something you can ignore. You have to help the animals.
Well, Gary, thank you for celebrating the 13th anniversary of It's All About Food with me today on the Progressive Radio Network. Everybody out there, thank you. And anybody who's been listening for 13 years, I would love to hear from you. info@realmeals.org. You can visit us at responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where all our recipes are, if you want to check some of them out.
A lot of great recipes over the years.
So, Gary, everybody, have a delicious week.